Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. It's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another edition of our weekly podcast. You know, on this edition, I have Drew McConaughey of McConaughey Stradley that will be on. We're going to be talking about insurance inspections. At last time we talked to Drew, we talked about insurance in general, and I wanted to bring him back on because it's really important, I think, that when you're acquiring insurance, that A, you want to make sure that you're paying the least amount as possible for the most amount of coverage rather than the reverse. They're charging you the most for the least amount of coverage when it comes to acquiring insurance because it's necessary. Even though you use entities, you still need to have insurance. So we have to make sure we're doing it right and getting the best deal out there. And another level to this is how you look to your insurance carrier. You know, one of the things that we talk about with entity planning at our events is that the way you set up your entities can impact how you look to a lender, to an underwriter. You can either look like you're a professional real estate investor, or you can look like you're a mom and pop investor that's kind of doing it on the side. And so the appearance is everything when it comes to running your business. And I think that this is another important aspect of it, is that when you're setting yourself up to deal with that carrier, when they come out to inspect your properties, there are things that you can do to give that appearance that you're the smart operator that's out there, that you know, you understand it, you have tons of experience. And even though you may have no experience at all, you know, you can make it appear as if you know what you're doing. So with that, I want to welcome Drew back to my podcast. Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Clint. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to speak to your audience once again.
Yeah, I know. We got into this a little bit on the last podcast. And for those of you that missed that, definitely go back into the previous episodes and look that up, because that, I mean, that was a highly rated podcast. I know we had a ton of listeners that downloaded it and listened to it. And I got some emails after the fact, and they want to know more about this. And so today, as we talked about, you're going to talk about insurance inspection. So tell me, you know, just a little bit about why this is important to someone who's considering buying a multifamily or commercial property.
Sure. So how the process works is we gather a bunch of quotes together. We try and find the best matrix of coverage and cost. So once we have determined that, we pick the carrier, right? So the carrier comes in, they insure you. One of their subjectivities, especially if the building's a little bit older or has quote unquote some hair on it, they're going to require an inspection within 60 days. So, right, we already have coverage now. We've got a binder. It's called a binder. It's going to provide coverage for 60 days until they go out and perform this inspection. But after they perform the inspection, they reserve the right to cancel coverage. So the concern that your listeners should have is if they bomb the inspection, the insurance company will come off the deal. They'll cancel that binder and won't transition that into a full annualized policy. Because what they'll say is it was a material change in operations from what we told them to what they actually witnessed when they send their inspector out. Now, the problem that you run into there is we picked this carrier for a reason, right? They were the lowest cost operator with the most amount of coverage. So now we're taking the what we would call the A-plus deal off the table. We're going back out to market 60 days later, almost always to the exact same insurance companies that we already went to. And we're coming back with our tail between our legs saying, we failed the inspection. And guess what? They're going to think that either this isn't a great operator or this isn't a great building or both. So failing an inspection is much worse than just losing your policy. It is having to go back out and find coverage elsewhere to the companies that we've just looked at, and they're gonna know if it's within 60 days that something is up. So the deal that they had on the table before is not going to be quite as good. Does that make some sense?
Oh, yeah. So I got a few things here. A, I mean, do you have a horror story you could tell us about how this has happened?
Sure. So, man, I've got about 10 of them. And most of them are pre-me, but that doesn't mean they're not horror stories. So I had a customer who, on his first building, he had an inspection that was done. He had multiple states. I think it was in Oklahoma. And it was like a 60-unit building, and he had what he thought was a good deal. and they had an inspection done and they failed the inspection. And then that's actually when I got brought in through another referral, because he wasn't able to find really any markets that would do his deal, because everybody who had seen his deal knew that something was up. So he had to go find a whole new agent. Now, thankfully, that brought me in the door, so it's not a horror story for me, but I was able to bring in some markets that weren't approached the first time. Markets meaning carriers, meaning insurance companies, and solve the problem for them. But from a cost standpoint, it could have been disastrous if the other agent had gone to the exact same markets that I had access to. They just didn't happen to do that. But, you know, if he was very happy with his agent, he had to end that agency relationship. So that's probably not as good of a horror story as you want, but it could have been disastrous if the other agent, I guess, had done their job appropriately and gone out to all the insurance companies available.
Okay, so let's assume that this were to happen. I mean, if I have my carrier come out, they look at the property and they say, nope, we're not going to insure this property because it fails the inspection. What does that do to my loan?
That's a good point, right? So we would have had to provide a certificate of insurance to your lender, right, naming them as loss payee. And a part of our requirement under law is if the insurance company changes within that annual term, we need to notify the lender. So now the lender's going to be all over you saying, wait a second, what's going on here? What's wrong with the building? And what are you doing with insurance? So it's going to create that's a whole nother bee's nest that you're going to jump into if you have an inspection fail.
Yeah, because I mean, couldn't the lender, I assume, jam a carrier down my throat and force me to pay maybe three times market for the insurance? Yep. Because that's a requirement of the loan. So you could really get burned on this.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is nothing to be taken lightly. That's why I've spent the time to come up with this white paper to help your audience kind of not beat the system, but look as good as possible to these insurance companies.
Yeah, rig the system in your favor. I got it.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let hosts Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Like you said, that's in the notes. You can go and you can download that white paper. And I've read through it. It's great. I want to talk about this as well. So let's talk about some of the things then that if you're an operator, owner of a property, that you should be focusing on prior to that carrier coming out to help or give the appearance, you know, that you're the smart operator and you've got all your stuff together.
Sure. There's really three items that I want to walk through, and I'll stop after each one so that we can have a conversation about it. The key to this whole thing is there is minimal or no cost to doing this. This is a function of time. This is not a function of money. I'm not telling you to go out and spend 15 grand to get ready for your inspection. I'm telling you, you might have to spend $100 or $200 or $500, depending upon the size of the building. So I don't want your listeners to think, oh, I have to set up all these controls and have to add all the. I'm not asking you to do that. Are there things you could do to really go over the top? Yes. Are you going to get the return on investment on those that you're going to get in these three items that I'm going to go through today? No. So, and I don't think you need to do it, frankly. So the first one, and this is all going to probably seem pretty logical, but maybe you haven't heard it before. The first one is general housekeeping. You know, you're going to get a call to schedule this inspection. You're going to know exactly the date and time that your inspector is going to be there. So the very basic thing that you should be doing is general housekeeping. So all common areas should be professionally and freshly cleaned, right? If you're scheduling something at noon, you should have a cleaning team in there that morning that are sweeping, you know, any sort of, you know, even paint, little paint items. Have your entryways look spectacular. Any cracks in the sidewalks or broken, uneven stairs should either be repaired or roped off. and with a note there that says a repair has been ordered. Again, this is just going to make you look professional. If your building is in the north and it's in the winter where you do your inspection, your sidewalks should be cleaned, your parking lot should be salted, any tree branches, any garbage, all that, you want to clean it up. Think about this as you're showing off your building. That's a great way to put this in the back of your mind, right? I'm trying to, like you're selling it to this inspector, right? What would you do if you had somebody, a hot buyer coming to your property? You would want to be doing all these things. Same for your inspector, right? You want to show off your facility to this inspector. So anything you want me to slow down on or drive into there, Clint?
No, I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind when you were talking about this is that treat it like you would if you're trying to sell the property. You know, what would you look at? It would have curb appeal that when you walk in, that the entryways, everything is going to be clean. You know, the carpets, if they're dirty because you had tenants moving in and out, make sure they're spotless as well, because that only, again, as you stated, gives the appearance is that you're maintaining your properties and you're on top of it.
Yep, absolutely. And again, that's probably the most costly thing of any of these items that I'm going to talk about is housekeeping. So if you've got a maintenance manager on site, you can have them do it. I would suggest that you actually go and get an outside firm to do it, but you don't have to, right? So, and that's the most expensive thing that I'm going to be talking about. So just to give you an idea while you're continuing to listen to this, that this, I'm not talking about anything crazy here.
Yeah. And so you brought up something that I think is important. You said hire an outside party to do it. If you have an on-site manager or somebody else managing the property, I would agree with that 100%, because in my experience with on-site property managers or property managers that you use, they have a different level of what they think is acceptable for these areas. And it makes sense because, you know, they're running the property and they're trying to minimize your costs. But on something like this, their standards are not at the same standards as a third party you're going to be paying to come in and actually do the work. So, you know, I'd rather spend a little now to save a ton later, because as you talked about earlier, you know, if you get denied and they leave the property and now you have to go back out to the market, you know, you're going to be kicking yourself. And just like asset protection, I tell people, they say, well, I don't, you know, I'll put five properties in one LLC rather than put one LLC per property. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, when you're involved in that lawsuit and they're coming after that one LLC that has five properties, you're going to be kicking yourself for not having the five separate LLCs. So yeah, right on, 100%.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yep.
So what's the other point? You said there was three main points. What's the number?
Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two, this one you probably haven't heard before, but I think this is a fantastic report to put together. And I call it a management summary report. Call it whatever you want. But this is where we are aggregating our maintenance records and our housekeeping records and showing that we are holding people accountable, that we have certain people that are performing certain tasks, right? So if you have, this can be a three-ring binder with 10 tabs in it. And one of the tabs should be, when was the last time we had the electrician out to look at our breakers? Another tab, when was the last time we had a plumber out? Who was the plumber? When was it? What service did they perform? Same thing for HVAC. And the next one, now we're starting to get into stuff where there's common claims. When was the last time we had the laundry lines cleaned? There's a ton of lint fires if your building has a laundry room. That's something that we want to definitely show that we're paying attention to. That can be your on-site maintenance guy, right? That doesn't need to be a third party who's doing this. So when was the last time we had our laundry room cleaned and our dryer serviced, or our dryer lines serviced? Next, roof. You know, when did we have our last leak? Who looked at the leak? Who fixed the leak? And has that been followed up on, right? So the fact that you fixed it and it's no longer showing issues is great, but a month later after our next big rainstorm, have we gone up there to make sure that even though it may not be coming through the walls, is there water within the walls? Because my fear for you there is you have moisture in the walls, you're going to get mold. Mold's a common exclusion on these policies, so that can be turned into a big deal for you as an owner that's not going to get picked up by a policy. Smoke detector maintenance. When was the last time batteries were changed? What's your program, the smoke detector battery program, right? Every January 1st, we come in and change batteries in the smoke detectors. And then we tell our tenants to change them as they beep, right? But we want to make sure that we're showing that these smoke detectors are being attended to at least once a year. Same thing, fire extinguishers, right? Your code's gonna require that you do that as well, but we want to keep a log of our fire extinguisher maintenance. If you have sprinklers in the building, same thing, right? When are they getting updated and checked on? So have a maintenance log that has all these major systems within the building, when they're being serviced, who's servicing them, and any notes that you can take to make it, you know, appear more thoughtful, right? So the other item that I brought up was a housekeeping policy. So this isn't necessarily a log, but when was the last time when's housekeeping performed? Who is responsible for housekeeping? You know, who's repairing these stairs that I just had you repair in general housekeeping? When was that done? Was that followed up on to make sure that the repair actually stuck? So that's just another item. So this is literally a one three-ring binder with several different tabs in it to show everybody who looks at it that you're an A-plus operator. I'd be shocked if many of you have it. If you do, kudos to you, but it's not common in the industry, but it goes a whole heck of a long way. And every time you go out to get quotes, you should make sure that your agent is sharing with the underwriters that you have this in place, because this will save you money.
Yeah, because, you know, when you buy a property, if somebody presents you, I mean, I bought an investment property in Hawaii, and the seller of the property gave me a three-ring binder, and it had all of this information contained inside of there, who they use to maintain the AC unit, who was maintaining the refrigerator, you know, the contractors they used to paint it, and the last time the bug spray, you know, it was sprayed. So when you see that, it gives you a sense of confidence that the person you're buying the property from has paid attention to their property. Now, it could all be bullshit. Oh, excuse me. Yes, but you don't know that, and you just take it on faith that's what's going on. And so, yeah, I actually do the same thing when I am selling property. I put together those binders for the buyer because I think it helps when they actually come to inspect the property, look at the property as well. I have that binder laying out on the counter so they can see all of that information. Because it's just, I mean, who wants to buy a house and you don't know anything about it and you have to go figure out where the sprinkler systems are located, you know, in the ground, all that stuff. If you got that laid out there, it gives people a sense of confidence that they're working with someone who has taken the time and they care about that particular property. So yeah, that's spot on. And so that conversation, though, when that inspector comes out, I assume it's, hey, by the way, you know, would you like to look at our maintenance binder? Is that how you'd go about that?
Yeah, exactly. The inspector is going to ask you if you have any sort of maintenance records. That will be a question that they ask. And you say, oh, yeah, here, look at this. And their eyes are going to light up like it's Christmas morning. That's how the inspectors feel about it. So if you can show them that three-ring binder, I mean, maybe the rest of the, if your housekeeping's intact and you show them that, A of all, the inspection's going to get cut. The time that you're going to have to spend with them is getting cut in half. So it's going to be a benefit to you personally that you don't have to spend a bunch of time with this inspector doing this inspection that you probably don't want to be doing in the first place. And secondly, you're going to look like an all-star operator. I mean, it is not just for insurance. This is a great tool to have in all facets of property ownership. When you sell this property, you're going to look like a wizard to the person who's buying it, and they're going to think that the asset that they're buying was in great hands. So, yep. I totally agree with your point.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Okay, so how about knowing your building? I mean, that's pretty important, right?
Yeah. And this, again, this one seems pretty intuitive, but they're going to ask you questions, right? When was the last time your roof was replaced? That's probably going to have been on our apps. They're probably looking at the answer that we have on our apps from that. So it would be good to, they're just kind of double checking that A of all, either you didn't lie on your app, or B of all, do you know what's going on with your building? Some of these can be tough, right? So take 5 minutes or have your agent send you a copy of the applications before they do the inspection to make sure that that's an easy way to do it, right? You can look at these apps and say, here are all the questions that they're going to ask me. I should know this, right? What type of roof is on your building? It's good to know that. When was it done? When was the last time you had a claim? What have you done to remediate the exposures that created that claim? Any item like that is going to, again, elevate you against your peers when they look at it. And there's a good example to this too, right? So let's say you had a $50,000 loss because one of your tenants left the stove on and a fire broke out. First of all, your management summary should have a past claims and remedies tab. So in there, you should have a claim report that outlines what happened, and you should have probably a copy of a memo that you sent out to each of your tenants to say, we had an accident within the building. Here's what happened. Here's what we can all do as a little community to make sure that we don't have any other issues like this, because likely several of the other tenants were negatively affected by this issue. And then third, this is just kind of a pie in the sky type of option, but you could have installed stovetop suppression systems. They're like $25 each on Amazon. And again, think about that. If you do that, how many of your peers in the property ownership space have done that? Nobody, right? You're going to look like an all-star. By the way, it's also going to save you money, right? You're never going to have another $50,000 claim. You probably had a $1,000 to $5,000 deductible, and now you've spent $25 per unit to make sure that never happens again. So you'll never have to pay that deductible again if you put one of the, or likely will never have to pay that deductible again if you spend the $25 in risk management to get that done. So little items like that, and you can just, everything that they're going to ask you that we have on the apps, they're already seeing. They're just going to drive into it a little bit more. And again, you can, if you can provide light on the little, box that we checked on an app or number that we put on an app, if you can say, yeah, we had a slanted roof before, we went to a flat roof this time because X, Y, and Z. All that stuff is just going to make you look like a star operator.
Yeah, I mean, as you stated, these are small things that someone could be doing. I mean, first off, what I would do is I would send you a copy of my existing carrier's policy and what I'm paying. You review that. You tell me, hey, Clint, I can save you, $10,000 a year and get you better coverage. Great. Mm-hmm. And then you're also going to tell me that, hey, Clint, you better go out and make sure your property meets these standards, because this is what the carrier is going to be looking for. So it just makes sense. You should be doing this if there's a potential to save money. And that's what would start with getting you over the policy, right? So that you could review it.
Correct. Yeah. First and foremost, I want to make sure that your policy lines up with the exposures that you have. A lot of times I see people who have buildings that they sold years ago, and they're still insuring them because the agent never pulled it off. I can't tell you how often I run across that. And it's usually not a big one, right? It's usually, I had three single family rentals that I sold. I sold two of them and kept one, but I forgot to pull the two off as I was buying larger assets. So it's a great time to do a review like that, but it also allows me to say, here are some issues that the insurance companies are going to point out. Let's get out ahead of that, right? Let's answer the questions before they ask them. An underwriter is going to love that, because that's, again, that makes us look good as agents, right? That we're informing our customers and we're getting out ahead of these questions and we're not hiding from them. You never want to give the appearance that you're hiding from anything. So even if you have had a claim in the past, disclose it and tell these insurance companies what you've done to remedy the situation going forward. That's much more valuable than hiding from it, and because in all likelihood they're going to find it, and when they find it, they're going to cancel your policy, and then you're back to you're behind square one. So, yeah, I totally agree. The process starts with getting an agent to review your policies and have the agent be an expert in the space. I can't tell you how key that is, and the agent should be doing so much more for you than just, here's some quotes, go ahead, tell me what to do. That's not what you want. That's not what you need, because you've got a bunch of other stuff on your plate, right? Your agent should be a partner to you and not just a, you know, a monkey who's going out to get quotes, you know, that anybody in the world could do, a computer could do it. That's not our job, right? Our job is to be an extension of your business and essentially be an offsite risk manager for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I tell people with asset protection. If you went to an attorney and you're setting up an LLC and he asks you, well, how do you want it taxed? As an S corp, partnership, or disregarded entity? And you're like, isn't that your job?
Shouldn't you? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. So it's about everything. You know, whoever you're working with, it starts with a plan. It's working with somebody that's an architect that knows how to build these plans out the right way, because I'm not the expert in that field. You're the expert when it comes to insurance. And so I'm going to rely upon you to help me navigate all of this stuff so I can get the best policy for the least amount of money for my property. And one other thing you mentioned about being on the property, because a lot of investors, they own property in different states. And so they're remote investors. I would assume that you think it's a good idea that they're on site when the inspection occurs?
In a vacuum, yes, right? I would love to have the owner there. It looks good. It's good for the optics. But at the same time, I understand that's not possible, right? If you're an investor and you, I just did this, right? I had a customer who lives in Southern California. They bought a property in Oklahoma. Am I going to make him fly out for this inspection? No. If he can, but they're going to allow him to schedule it, right? So if this investor can schedule the inspection around a time where he was going to be there anyways, of course, it's great for you to be there. I would tell you to have your property manager walk around with you. They're the ones who you're probably tasking with knowing your building and putting together your management summary report and housekeeping. So they're going to be able to fill in a lot of the blanks that you might not know because you're not involved in the day-to-day. But yes, it would be nice for you to be there. Does it happen all the time? No. Are you going to fail the inspection because you're not there? No. But yes, in a vacuum, it is good for you to be there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you got to check on your properties. And so this would be a great time to do that anyways, because a lot of people, you know, they don't realize what's going on their properties. And so visual inspections are always important. All right. Well, hey,
absolutely.
Anything else you want to leave imparting on this that you want their listeners to know?
You know, I just want to hammer home again that this is a low cost fix. This is something that will provide long-term gain. And I sincerely believe that your return on investment in creating accomplishing these three situations will be some of the best return on investment that you'll do in any walk of life. So I guess that way, right? You're an investor. Think about it that way. Return on investment. This is incredibly high return on investment because I'm asking you to spend a couple $100. And this could be a $100,000 insurance policy that goes to a $180,000 policy once you fail your inspection. So I'm asking you to spend $500 to save $80,000. So think about it that way. Don't think about it as this is an incremental dollar that I don't want to spend. Think about, you know, that you do a little cost benefit analysis, and I think that this will really shine for you. So I guess that'll be my parting shot.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that all the time from people that basically admit to the fact that they're tripping over the pennies on the way to dollars. And it's one of those issues that when something does go wrong, everyone is typically always in agreement. They knew they could have done something different earlier, but they chose not to because they let a small cost get in the way of helping them protect their assets. And so definitely they should reach out to you. We've got all your contact information in the show notes. We got your email there so they can look at that. Do you want to give them another way just in case they don't have time? They're driving in their car and they listen to it and they want to call you right away. What should they do?
Yeah, so probably the best way to get a hold of me is through email. It is D as in dog, M as in monkey, at macstrad.com. I'm wonderful at checking my emails. I'm not good at many things, but checking my email happens to be one of them because it's the lifeblood of my business. So I would suggest shoot me an email and saying, I'm happy to do anything that you need from me. I'm happy to share any sort of intellectual property that I have. I want to help you become a successful investor and not lose money on your way to profitable growth.
Great. All right, Drew, thanks for being on the podcast again. Again, very valuable information for all the listeners. Hopefully they're going to take you up on that and look for ways to improve their policies. So with that, everyone, thank you for being on, and make sure you catch our next podcast coming up next week. There's always a lot of information. My partner Toby's on here talking about taxes and everything interesting, real estate and asset protection, tax planning and business planning related. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.